Blog Talk Radio.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
God in the Midst, Get 'Em Radio presents Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Colossians 2, verse 3 says, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." The Word of God is a gold mine. If you enjoy mining for gold nuggets in the Word of God, this broadcast is for you. The Lord has gifted Dr. Lorraine Nabarro to uncover hidden treasures in the Bible that will delight you as he reveals a different perspective of his word. So get your pick and shovel, turn your mining hat light on, and let's dig into the Word of God.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Hello, and welcome to God in the Midst Radio. My name is Dr. Lorraine Nabarro, and this is Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Today, we're starting a new month, a new season, so we're going to do hopefully a little series of Set Free September. Today we're going to be looking at a great escape. Let's open with a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the liberty to have time in your word. Father, thank you for meeting us at that place. Father, for filling your word with that truth and that life that we need, that we may understand. Thank you, Father God, for opening the scriptures to us. Help us be open to them, that they may encourage us, they may inspire us, they may exhort us. Thank you, Father God, that as we look into your word, we see you more clearly. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as I said, it's a new season, it's a new month. Even if you hear this in the archives, it doesn't matter. It's always a new season with God. Amen. And we're going to be looking at Set Free September. I don't know, but there just sometimes we feel like we got to shake off where we've been. We have to shake off those things that have encumbered us, have encaptured us, those things that have held us down and held us back. All right, and so today we're going to look at Acts chapter 12. We know that Acts is the book that records the beginning of the church and how men and women with just ordinary personalities, ordinary life, ordinary mindset, learned to live inside the nature of God as He filled them with His Spirit and gave them purpose and direction. In chapter 12, we see that the government had arrested and murdered James, the brother of John. And when the leaders saw that it pleased the people, then they continued to arrest more, and they arrested Peter. And so they were going to put him, they were going to kill him. Verse 4 says, "And when he had apprehended him," that is when Herod had apprehended Peter, "he put him in prison, and he delivered him to four quaternions," that is, it's four times four, there were 16. And four, as you may or may not know, is the number that refers to the creation. God, the creator, and in relationship to his creation, it's the material world. It's so, and so the thing is, many times we can be entrapped and imprisoned, and you know, he gave four times four, that the intensity, the natural things around us can ensnare us and entrap us. So he gave him to four times four of these soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. And so that's oftentimes the devil's intent may be for us different than the outcome. Amen. Verse 5. And a lot of times when we read this passage of scripture, we start with verse 6, which is, when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. But I want to back it up to 5, because the context of this great deliverance, this great escape, is it starts with verse 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. So the governor had put him in prison and had given these 16 soldiers charge over him. And so you could tell that they were taking turns, two by two. When Herod found them the night before, he was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains and the keepers before the door. So there were two that slept with him, two in front of the door. That was one set of four. And this happened around the clock, four times four. They tried to keep him by the chains. They tried to keep him by the door. Locked chains, locked doors. Next time, hopefully, we'll be looking at the God of the chain. The God of the door is also the God of the chain, one that we may have looked at before, but we're going to look at it again with this great escapes. There are things that chain us and the things that lock us in or out. Anyway, so they went in turns four by four, and there were two inner and two outer. And that's oftentimes when we all feel imprisoned, there are internal things, you know, those things that chain us that are in us. And then there were two at the door. Those are the external things. So sometimes we're held in by the internal things in us and sometimes by external, but they work together to keep us in prison. Peter was kept in prison. But around the clock, even though there were these soldiers around the clock keeping next to him, keeping outside the door, the church was making prayer around the clock. And so we never underestimate the importance of prayer, the prayer of the saints, the prayer of those around us, the prayer of those who we may never even know, but who are praying for us, the prayer of those around us that make possible those great escapes, that make possible people being set free. So if you've been set free, you know there are people who have been praying for you. And if you are somebody who prays, know that there are people being set free that you may never know their name, you may never see their face. But your prayers, as the scriptures say, avails much. The fervent prayers of a righteous man avail much. So it's prayer, but that prayer should be fervent. And in the midst of fervent prayer, we need to maintain our own righteousness, don't we? So the context of prayer around them, the church prayed for him. Verse 6, now when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, that he would have brought him forth like in the morning. But in the nighttime, God moved. Sometimes it seems like it comes right down to the wire. Sometimes it seems like God, if anything, is almost too late. But he never is too late. He will always be on time. Sometimes in the nick of time, but always on time. So Herod made plans for the morning, but God worked in the nighttime. Many times we'll think about nighttimes as being a dark time, a lonely time, a scary time. But many times these great escapes occur, being set free occurs in the nighttime. I'm thinking about three right off the bat. We talk about when Paul and Silas, they came forth in the nighttime, didn't they? Around midnight, they were singing and praying. And then I was thinking about Daniel. Daniel spent the night, he was set free, but Daniel spent the night with the lions. The lions come out at night. It's that scary, dark time, that time of being very alone. And I'll tell you, though, that's also a time when God moves. Nighttime vigil, if you've ever held it, it's phenomenal. The world kind of just goes off to sleep, but God is awake. Remember the woman that Jesus told the parable of, the widow that kept coming and bothering the unjust judge. He was a judge. He wasn't a virtuous judge, but she bothered him at night. She kept coming to him, and he finally gave in because of her nighttime petitions. So in the nighttime, the night before he was to be taken forth, where was he? He was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, right? And that should be enough. But then again, at the keepers before the door kept the prison that's outside. So there's that which chains you personally, and then there's that which keeps the lock on the prison. And behold, I don't remember if I told you this. I said great escape, but I wanted to say an angel at the gate. An angel at the gate. Behold, the angel of the Lord came upon, and a light shined in the prison. It was night, and it was an internal part of the prison. It was dark, but the light shined. And this is sometimes we can feel so overwhelmed with circumstances, with situations, but there is no place that the light cannot get into. And if you can't keep out the light, you can't keep out God. I always think of that as one of my favorite parts of Christmas, when it talks about that God sent the a light to shine in the dark places. He always precedes his presence by his light. Amen? And the light shined in the prison. The angel smote Peter on the side and raised him up. Sometimes for us to be set free, we kind of need a good kick in the backside. And sometimes we think that's awful until we wake up. And then we realize, no, that which seemed uncomfortable and that which seemed difficult is actually the very thing we needed to get ourselves moving, isn't it? And raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. You know, I've read it 100 times, but when you realize the angel not just said to get up, but get up quickly. There are times it's okay to take our time to rouse ourselves, but there are times when God is moving, you have to move quickly too. If God is on the move, be ready to move. Remember one of the things we used to always point out with, we always know that when the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they were led by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Again, around the clock, right? There was fire by night because we also needed the light, and the cloud by day. And it was with them every single day until they entered into the promised land and it lifted. Why? Because the reason was that they would always keep their eye on the pillar of fire or the pillar of smoke. Why? Because that they should be ready at an instant to move. Now, sometimes the cloud would hover, and they would be there for weeks or even months. They were there 40 years, weren't they? And so it would be easy to settle in. And that's sometimes we can get comfortable in our prison, can't we? I love Peter. He so trusted God, he was sound asleep. The next day they were going to get up and they were going to execute him. But that night he slept soundly. You have to remember that it was Peter who complained to Jesus on the lake of Gennesaret, that is the Sea of Galilee, that he was in the boat sleeping, that this big storm came. And Peter went to Jesus and accused him. He said, "You're sound asleep. You don't even care that we're dying." But I guess he learned something about sleep, didn't he? So here he was on the eve of his execution, and he was sound asleep. But the angel kicked him. And we don't know how long he'd been in that prison, but he'd already been chained, and he had a soldier on each side, and outside the door, there were soldiers keeping the prison. So he was double kept, wasn't he? On both sides. So that's the four. Four times four. Around the clock. But as we saw in Exodus, when the children of Israel were moving in the wilderness, he said, keep your eye on the pillar, because when it moves, you move. When it doesn't move, okay, settle in. So much of the time we forget to keep our eye on the pillar. We get comfortable in the wilderness, or we sleep pretty soundly in the prison. We get comfortable. We have to remember that if we pray for deliverance, when it comes, come quickly. We're to move quickly. Remember when Elijah told the king, King Ahab, he said, you know, that he had prayed. He said, now prepare, get thee up, prepare, because the rain stop thee not. The very thing you prayed for, you pray for the rain, but then you got to prepare to get up and go quickly, because it will overtake you. The very thing you pray for can overtake you. So we just need to remember, as we're looking to be set free, to be ready to move when the cloud moves, ready to move when the angel gives us a nudge. Amen. And his chains fell off from his hands. The chains just fell off. When God's light comes in, the chains disappear. So much of the time we struggle with the things that chain us to past behaviors, or chain us to circumstance, or chain us, hold us down. But first comes the light. It's true that in counseling, the very first thing people need is self-awareness. You need to know you need help before you will take help. The help can be there, but you have to be aware. The light comes in. You gotta wanna. You got to want to be free. The light comes in, and then the chains fall off. It's not like the chains fall off and then God wakes him up. No, when the light came in, the chains fell off. Amen. Now, this verse, this is something I saw for the first time a little bit ago, and it's just it so excited me. Verse 8 says, and when he went out, I'm sorry, back up, I got ahead of myself. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind thy sandals. And so he did. Now, we've seen this before. I just made a reference to Elijah telling the king to get up and get ready. And then it says that he girded himself and he ran and he outran the king and the king's chariot, which is pretty cool. You know, he girded himself. And so we know that to gird yourself is kind of like bind yourself tightly, pull yourself together. In other words, quite literally, pull yourself together so that you don't get entrapped. You don't stumble and fumble. But I found this very intriguing because I had been mentally meditating on being set free, that this is one of the most beautiful examples of God coming in and setting his children free. He set him free, and the first thing the angel said is to gird yourself and bind on your sandals. Gird yourself, and we know that if you follow in Ephesians, the full armor of God, you gird yourself with the truth. Amen. And the sandals, the feet, are the preparation of the gospel of peace. And Romans tells us, how can somebody go unless they or how can somebody be saved unless somebody go? How can somebody go if they be got called? How can they be called? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel? And so this thing of the sandals, because remember, you take off your feet shoes when you stand in a holy place. Now you're going to go from the holy place into the unholy place, the world. That's when you bind on your sandals. You know, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel? Put on the sandals, the footwear of peace, the gospel of peace. Amen. So we take off our shoes. And that if you are not used to walking a lot barefoot, you can find yourself when you're barefoot stumbling and bumbling over rocks, etc. Those of us who go barefoot a lot more, we've got a little bit tougher feet. But there are some people who've never worn shoes in parts of the world, and their feet are even tougher. But for those of us who wear shoes, then take them off in the presence of God, we know our feet are tender, aren't they? It's okay to be vulnerable and tender in the presence of God. We aren't going anywhere. We're staying there. We're not trying to make a hasty exit. But when you put on your sandals, when you put on the feet of the gospel of peace, the shoes of the gospel of peace, then you're headed out into the world. And there's some stony places, and there's some rocky places, and there's some hard places, and there are some places that will cut you and wound you if you don't bind your feet tightly. So gird yourself with truth and put on the sandals of speaking the gospel, speaking the truth of preaching. I found this really fascinating because I had been studying, thinking about being set free, about making our great escape, as it were. But when we're imprisoned, God will set us free. There's no question about that. But the first thing he says is, bind yourself, gird yourself, and bind yourself. And I find it kind of interesting because it's that same dichotomy, that same looks almost opposite for the church. Because we have been free, therefore we bind ourselves into service to others. Though we've been set free, what we use not our liberty as an excuse, as a way to just be more selfish. Rather, it teaches us to serve others. We've been set free that we may do for others. Let him who has, let him who stole steal no more, but rather let him labor that what he may have to give to those who need. We are been forgiven that we may serve others. We've been set free to be a servant. Amen. That dichotomy that he sets us free. And so we choose to be a servant to others. So we are literally set free. The angel sets him free. But the first thing he says with your freedom is gird yourself and bind yourself. Amen. It seems like an opposite of freedom, but really the only true use of our freedom is to bless others. So the angel said that, and he said to him, cast your garment about thee and follow me. So we gird, we bind, and then we follow. So you can see that is set up. Once we're free, we don't just run helter-skelter, do we? Once we're free, we follow. We follow the angel. We follow the Lord. And he went out and followed him, and he knew not that it was true what was done by the angel, but thought it might be a vision. Thought he was having a dream. Thought, okay, this is God's promise. Remember, Stephen saw a vision before he died. He was set free, but in a very different way. Maybe Peter thought, okay, this is like my vision. Remember, that was not that long ago that, and James had been killed, hadn't he? So So he thought maybe he thought God's giving him a vision that he will be set free and will follow the angel, thinking once he's executed, he will be again with the Lord. But then he realized, wait a minute, God's not done with me. He didn't know that it was true. And now we come to the verses that I really was excited about this for us, for our set free. Remember that the governor had put four squads of four with him, two to be on either side of him, two to be at the outside of the prison door, and then they took turns by fours around the clock. But the church had been praying around the clock too. Amen. The prayer can reach in where we can't reach in. The light of God can reach in. It doesn't matter what is binding you. It doesn't matter what is chaining you. It doesn't matter what is locking you. It doesn't matter what's imprisoning you. The light of God can reach there. And when the light reaches us, we can arise quickly. It isn't going to take 1,000 years. If you've been in bondage to some kind of behavior or addiction or something like that, it may have taken you years to get into that state, years to get into financial trouble. That doesn't necessarily, now it might, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to take that many years to get you out of it. We can move quickly, but at the other side of it, we bind ourselves, we gird ourselves, and follow that we may serve others. Amen? So here he comes. Even though all that the world had done to hold him back, when they were past the first and second ward, okay? So they were kind of in the inner city, and they're moving into wards, into districts, into more than suburbs, but into areas of the city. They're past the first and the second. They came to an iron gate that leads unto the city. He was leading them out, wasn't he? Now, here's the thing. He's gotten that far, but now he's to the iron gate. And remember how iron has a significance in the scripture, doesn't it? A lot of times people think about numbers. They might even think about colors, but also think about the metals. Gold, of course, is a divine. It's pure. Think about what was used in the tabernacle. There was never anything of iron. There was gold, there was silver, and there was brass, but not of iron. Iron is speaks of man's endeavor. Remember when he saw the vision of Nebuchadnezzar, there was the statue and the feet were made of clay. The legs were made of iron. It's man's labor. And so they locked this gate, this gate against him, under the iron gate that leads to the city. So even if you got through the chains, and even if you got through the prison door, there's still a gate preventing you from going out into the world, going to the city where the people are that you're to minister to. And so, here we get to it. And this verse always reminds me of another great escape, when the four leprous men went to the outside. They, why sit we here till they die? They were on the other side of the gate, weren't they? They weren't allowed into the city because they were lepers. They knew if they went in there, they would die. They knew if they sat there, they were going to die of leprosy and starvation. So they said, well, we could at least go to the enemy camp. All they can do is kill us. There's something freeing when you realize there's an old blues song. When you ain't got nothing, you got nothing to lose. And I think spiritually, when we count ourselves as none of these things mean anything, you remember what Paul said. Paul said he counted all his great accomplishments in the world and his great standing and his great heritage and all these things. He said, I count them but dung compared to what God had done in him and what God had called him for. So, but anyway, the four lepers went to the gate, to the edge of the camp, And when they got to the edge of the camp, they found it abandoned. They found it empty. That so reminds me of this passage here, because when Peter got to the gate, which should have been his last obstacle, the one defining obstacle between him and his ministry, what did he find? He found that the gate was already open, that the gate opened to them of its own accord. Wow. So I just want to encourage you, even like the four lepers, they got to the edge. They had been dreading, they'd been afraid of their enemy. But when they got to the edge of the camp, they found the enemy was already gone. And so here, Peter, kind of coming out of his daze, didn't realize how he got out of the chain, didn't realize how he got out the prison door. But now he's walked through Ward 1, he's walked through Ward 2. Now he's coming to the prison, to the iron gate. And what does he find? It opened of its own accord. Not all will, but I just want to remind you, if you're looking for God to set us free, set free September, if there are things from which you need to be set free, yes, we need the light of the Lord. Yes, we need the prayer of the saints. Yes, we need to follow his direction. But every great once in a while, you will even find that which was holding you back will open of its own accord. You may think, well, I've tried all these ways. I mean, held by prisoner of unemployment, and you've gone everywhere with your resume. You've applied for everything. Nothing seems to be happening. And all of a sudden, you will find that gate opens of its own accord. Somebody will be calling you. Somebody will be headhunting you. And or whatever it may be, you will find that in God's course of setting us free, there are chains, yes. There are doors, yes. There are gates, yes. But sometimes in this life, the gates open of their own accord. And that, my friend, is my prayer for you for this September, that you will find gates opening, iron gates, tough, hard iron gates opening of their own accord. We have been set free that we may be bound and girded and follow him. We've been set free to be in being bound to him. I just hope that whatever it is that is binding you at this season, whatever it is that's got you chained, whatever it is that's locked you into being unable to do for God, whatever it is that's holding you back, whatever it is that's keeping you prisoner, that this season may be a season of being set free. Why don't we pray? Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word today. Thank you for the word of encouragement, that you remind us no matter how dark things seem, your light enters into the dark places, that no matter how tightly we feel bound, that you have the power to have chains fall off. Father God, we thank you that you've reminded us that no door can hold us back. And Father, you've even reminded us that when we've been set free, it's not for our own, not to run and hide, but to go back and serve. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that this week, this month, this season, that we will find ourselves as we approach gates that we think will be locked hard against us, we will find them already opening of their own accord. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for our time together. I hope that you all have the best week of your life, and I look forward to being with you again next week. God bless.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give.
I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Thank you for joining God in the Mist, Get 'Em Radio's Lunch with Lorraine, discovering God's hidden treasures. Enjoy the entire family of Get 'Em Radio broadcasts by calling 619-639-4733. That's 619-639-4733. Now, mark your calendar and set your cell phone alarms. Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures, is aired every Monday at lunchtime, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. Prophetic Healing with Elder Philip Harkey is on the second Wednesday of every month, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And the Thursday edition of God in the Mist airs every Thursday at 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. Once again, you can listen to all these broadcasts as they air by calling 619-639-4733. When you have an opportunity, Google Get 'Em Radio. That's GITM Radio. And listen to this broadcast in its entirety, as well as all of Get 'Em Radio's on-demand archives. As you listen to our archives, click the follow button and you will get a reminder via email of all our upcoming episodes. You may contact us at getemradio@gmail.com or call us at 903-776-4486. We'd love to hear from you. Also, meet us on Facebook at God in the Mist, M-I-D-S-T, and like us, because we like you too. Have a blessed rest of the day.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give.
I have found